Great to see all you guys. Great to see you, brother. Just want to, I'm just going to give it over to Bruce. And, man, you just run with it however God leads you this morning, all right? It's hard this morning. It's good. You know, I'm so stingy with
it. Oh, the preacher wants to preach. I've heard 3 sermons this morning already from Sid, so. All right. Well, everyone stand for a minute, if you would. Something Sid said in worship. Back when we were together doing communion with the worship team, I'll phrase it all nice and pretty, and that is worship evokes a response. When you get in the Lord's presence and you forget about yourself and you start declaring who He is, thanking Him for what He does, it evokes a response. I know sometimes when I know all you guys have great marriages. I'm working on mine 25 years in, still working on it. Well, when I don't feel like it, I realize sometimes when I just start saying things about things she did for me over the years, took care of my kids, covered me when I was a jerk, did different things in my life. When I do that stuff, my heart shifts. And sometimes when I come in a place for worship, it's the Lord just saying, all right, I'm going to do a little work on your heart. But then when I do, I want to see you respond to my love. And so I'm just asking, can you just, I just want 5-10 seconds. Would you just praise the Lord with me this morning? Just do that for me. Father, we just thank you. Just start praising the Lord. Just raise your hands. Father, we just thank you for this morning. I know sometimes, Father, I don't know what to say or do, but when I get in an atmosphere of praise and worship, I can't help but start saying things about you. You give me things to say. God, when my heart is hard from work, from relationships, from life, lack of zeros in the paycheck, I thank you, Father, you're more than able to give me grace. We praise you, Father. Teach us that. Teach us that as your bride, just to praise you for things we don't even have. Work out of what we do have, and thank you for what you're bringing in Christ's name, in Christ's name. All right, you guys. Father, we just thank you for today, in Jesus' name. Before you sit, just give a pound to the person next to you. Sid's not preaching. We're getting out on time today. All right, come on now. All right, the boys tried to preach 3 times on me. Call the elders up, hold them back. All right. I serve as a pastor in Texas, so I gotta do some housekeeping stuff just as a pastor. I have to do these things, so it's just who I am. If you're a visitor, they didn't ask me to do this, this is how I am. If you're a visitor and you want to know more about Victory Fellowship, grab a connection card, connect card, fill it out. We'll pick on you, we'll give you a hard time. So fill one of these out. So, and then I was gonna say this 2 things. I'm visiting. I'm the visiting guy giving Sid a break. So if you don't like what I preach, come back, okay? If you're visiting today, come back another Sunday, all right? I want you to, before you say, we're not going back to Victory, because I'm not the guy, so I want you to come back, okay? Promise me that, okay, you visitors? And then I'll say this. This is real important. This is very dear to my heart, this piece here. And that is, you can come to church every Sunday that you want, and you can still stay an infant in Christ. You really need people in your life. You need men and women in your life. And this church has life groups. So I can't tell you enough. If you've been coming to this church on Sundays for some time and you're not in a life group, shame on you. I'll tell you right now, let me tell you this. He won't say it. Maybe he will. I don't know. But shame on you. I need men in my life. I need men in my life that tell me, hey, you're treating your wife like a jerk. Cut it out. Hey, there's something not right with you right now. And let me give you some, I want to just give you some verses real quick. They said one earlier today. And I'm for those of you who don't know me, I don't do the 1-2-3 points. I try that stuff like those guys you see and listen to. Great for them. That's all right. So I'm gonna give you like 5 sermons. You pick the one you want and then go home and chew on it. Okay. All right. They said earlier today, Psalms 104:5. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name. For the Lord is good, and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. So much in those, we could just preach each line. But I want to say this. It doesn't say, hey, come in the house with your sin. What's life group for? It's for you to get men and women in your life where you can say, hey, listen, I'm struggling with this. I really like to drink, and I need someone to hold me accountable. There's nothing wrong with that. The world would say, hey, you got a problem. You're substandard. You shouldn't be a part of the church. And the Lord says, hey, James 5:16. We got it up on the screen there. Isn't that so good? She get up there. I hear you, girl. Typical preachers, they come up with stuff you don't have. I give them in advance. James 5:16. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. You're only one confession away from a healing. And the problem is, well, I'm going to go to church and I'll go to the altar. And the Lord's like, nope, I'm going to make you, I want you to go to another guy and tell that guy what you're dealing with. If you'll humble yourself and do it, I'll heal you. So we try and put God in a box. I don't know about you, but I didn't grow up in a Christian home. So I lived in fear in my house at times. I had a military dad, Marine. And so I knew there were certain behaviors you'd learn as a kid to keep dad happy. And if dad was happy and mom's happy, then everybody's happy. But if dad got ticked, there's some problems in the house. And we take that and then we put it on God when we start hearing about Jesus and we start hearing about the Lord. We assume, okay, we got to behave a certain way because in doing so, then God will be good with us. He won't be mean with us. So we try and make a formula with God as though we can put Him in a box. Okay, listen, as Christians, we got to confess our sins. Okay, great. And the Lord's like, okay, I'm not gonna do it one way. I'm not just going to do it one way. I'll do it in the middle of prayer. You'll be alone with the Lord. You'll confess and I'll forgive you in that moment. Then there'll be moments when you get together with someone else, you confess your sin and He forgives you and heals you there. The question isn't which avenue. The question is, would you be just willing to confess your sins? We make it so hard. This is. If I could tell you guys anything I've learned in my short journey with the Lord, is He's not making it hard. We make it hard. And half the time we walk out. He's standing there waiting on us. And we're like, I'm not good enough. Boom, and we walk away. We forfeit it. It's funny, the church that I help pastor, where I serve at, most of the congregation's half my age. And a lot of them are single. And it's so funny watching these singles. If you're single, raise your hand. Come on, let me see those single hands. Come on, shout. Woohoo! Okay. What's so funny because, you know, it's a different world. And sometimes what's difficult being married for so long, all you do is talk about marriage all the time. And single people are like, dude, could I hear something other than being married, please? Come on now. Okay, we're great. You got a good marriage and you love your wife. Good. Okay, great. Well, I want to talk to the singles in here. I want to talk to the singles. And that is, man, you have such an opportunity in the season you're in. Regardless of how long, if it's all your life, great. If it's not, great. Hey, all you married people that got to go home and got responsibilities, got to take care of your kids, all that stuff, woohoo, great. You get to do whatever you want with the Lord. I got to check in with five women at my house. When we made the decision to go out to Texas to plant the church, it was, hey, Jen, what do you think? And then we gathered the girls in the room. We're like, hey, girls, what do you think? Man, when you're single, it's like, dude, I'm gone. Woo! So I think as a family of believers here at Victory Fellowship, I can't encourage each of you to, in the season you're in, to be as fruitful as possible. Be as fruitful as possible. And if you're a single man, rub it in on the married's faces. Ha ha, you got to go home. You got to take care of her. And do all that. Dude, man, when I was single, it was so encouraging for me. I didn't grow up in the church, so I didn't have a problem dating. I'll go ahead and confess. I enjoy dating. I like women. I like to be around women. All right, obviously there's role. I can't tell you all the things my dad said this morning to me before I was a believer. But, man, it's so fun to have healthy relationships with the opposite sex. And the world so cuts that. They so belittle that. Like, if I'm a guy and I'm single, I got a problem. If I'm a guy and I can't be around women too much because, you know, man, that's such a lie. Jesus never was married. Never was married. Never was married. And He had more fulfilling relationships. I'm not trying to bust people's bubbles here, but man, we make things so religious. So religious. It's so, and I don't like it. I didn't grow up in the church, so that stuff stinks. I don't like that stuff. It was funny because I love coming to this church because I can say whatever I want and then leave and then Sid has to clean it up. So send any complaints to Sid at victoryfellowship.com and send it to Ariel. Okay. It's funny because when I come here, I usually get songs that I like to quote. And that is, I married a Georgia girl. Any guys here married Georgia women? Come on now. I got the song for that one. You can't sing this in church up on Sunday, but who can sing this with me? Body like a back road. Driving with my eyes closed. Come on. Oh, God, we're getting in the flesh. I know every curve like the back of my hand. Doing 15 and a... Oh, you sinners. All right, okay. I ain't in no hurry. I'm going to take it slow, Justice. Oh, y'all, all right, I'm in home. Okay, all right. Why do I say stuff like that? When you think of your relationship with the Lord and family, do you get a smile on your face? Or does it really irritate you? I know what it's like from a distance, divorce. And man, there's nothing worse than an ex that don't know Jesus. And to be around that can be so difficult. And I'll say this since Marvin's not here. I'm so proud of Marvin. Oh my gosh. I'm so proud of Marvin. The choices he's making, the decisions he's making, the season he's in, the faithfulness he's doing. And I say this to us as a house. The men in this house, you learn faithfulness in the season you're in, and God will pour out blessing on you so much it will embarrass you. Even when the ex is a jerk, can I say that in church? I'm not saying his is. I'm just saying, you know. Okay, we hypothetically speaking, you know, maybe we're the jerks. I don't know, but the point is man, as you keep your heart tender before the Lord, He'll honor it. That was my whole introduction to life groups. We ain't even gotten to my message yet. So if you're not in a life group, you better get in a life group, okay? All right. And can you get on the website to find out what life groups are going on? I heard this, if you go to Sid and Lori's tonight, what time's tonight? Filet mignon for any visitors that go for the first time, okay? You get filet mignon and lobster, your choice, if you're a visitor. All right, that's not true. I just lied. All right. Well, the title of my message, let's get a little spiritual here. All right. Title of my message today is, Are You In? Are You In? And here's kind of a, I'll give some illustrations so you understand where I'm kind of painting a picture with this. When I was a kid in high school, back when you had telephones with big long cords, you remember that? The big long cords, and your buddy would call the house. You'd get the phone and you'd go from the kitchen into the living room and you'd close that sliding door and you'd get the cord stuck and all that and you'd get up against the wall. Hey, what's going on, Chad? Yeah, okay, yeah. Oh, a party tonight. Yeah. Oh, dude, no way. Really? Okay. Am I in? I'm in. I'm in. You in? In. Deal. Get me. You remember those days? You'd be in school on Friday night football game. You got that rival team. Hey, we're playing so-and-so. You going? You in? Are you in? Come on, we got to do this thing now. I know I get a little loud. My wife, if you see my wife doing this, it's just because... So if you guys think I'm too loud, just start doing this and I'll calm it down a little bit. I break these mics. All right. I remember one time with my friends on a Friday. I had an older brother who played baseball and basketball. And one of his buddies pulled up in a Camaro back in the day. Shows you how old I am, how awesome we thought those were. He pulled up and threw that passenger door open. And my buddy, we were at his house. He said, come on, man. And I was like, well, that's my brother's friend. I don't really hang out with him because he's older and my brother always used to give me a hard time. And my friend got in that Camaro that night and he said, hey, you in? And I look back now going, I wish I hadn't said a you in yes on that one because we made some mistakes that night that I regret. And in life, what's difficult is you have a lot of different voices out there and a lot of them are asking, are you in? Some of them are good voices. I remember when I asked Jennifer to marry me. You in? I don't know, I caught her in weakness or something. She said yes. But it was the best man. I love it. Great man. I remember when my parents moved and I stayed in Georgia, went to college up the street. Back then it wasn't university and all fancy. It was West Georgia College. So funny when you tell these new kids that are at university, oh yeah, I went to college. They all make fun of you because they don't even think that way anymore. And you know, they're big and fancy. They got the stadium on campus and all that stuff. You know, it's a real interesting journey. I'll say this to you guys. Can I sit for a second? I ran a marathon. I didn't run a marathon. I was in a marathon yesterday. So I'm going to sit for a minute. Here's what's funny. I run rabbit trails all the time, so you're just going to have to pick one and go with me. Anyways, so we have these friends that we get together with every year, and we go to Savannah, and we do a half marathon. Well, the last year, Jen and I did great. We prepared for that thing 4 months in advance. We did it awesome. We finished it, you know, awesome. man, this year we did no prep at all for this marathon. So we're like, no, we're not going to do the half marathon this year. We're going to run to the 10K and quit. And that's what we're going to do this year. So we did it, and we finished and hit the 10K. Everyone kept running. We beelined it straight to the finish line through the other opposite streets. So I'm a little sore, so I'm going to sit every once in a while. So I want to say this to you guys. Back to my story here. I'm curious to know in your life, when you have these goals, okay, I'm going to run this 10K, I'm going to run this half marathon, I'm going to do all these things that it looks like all my other friends are doing, and you're hearing those voices, are you all in? But the Lord says, hey, it's time to go this way. How quickly are you willing to change? What I've found sometimes in church is a lot of people, they're like, I'm just waiting on the Lord. I won't say this to the single ladies. I'll say this to the single guys. Guys, sometimes you just need to ask them. I'm waiting on the Lord. No, sometimes you just need to ask her. I'm not being mean, but it's just interesting. I look in our church that we're at that's predominantly single, and I'm like, hey guys, she ain't gonna bite. Come on. And what's funny is I think we have this picture with the Lord the same way. Well, I ain't gonna ask him. Because we have a certain perspective. Maybe we've been hurt in the past. Maybe we have these certain green highways in the mind when it comes to things. And so we're not willing to pursue things with the Lord because we're afraid we're going to get hurt or He's going to take us somewhere where we're not willing to go. We've been studying Ephesians in our church. And I'm a pretty impatient guy. I like to try and get things done pretty quick. And as I get older, my body just won't let me. And it's interesting because the Lord won't let me. And it's funny because I wanted to get through Ephesians really, really fast. Chapter 1 this week, chapter 2 this next week. You know, and we're just going to knock out Ephesians and understand what He's saying to the body. And we're going to move on. And the Lord's like, all right, that sounds really cute. Okay, this Sunday you're going to do 3 verses. Really, Lord? Really? Really? So it's one of those dynamics with the Lord where He is the boss. And at times, I understand He wants to say things through me to people. And if I'd slow down and shut up sometimes, He'd be more than willing to talk through me. And I think sometimes, let me talk to the ladies just for a second. If you'll go to the Lord regarding Him, that guy in your life, the Lord will do something so fast in their life versus you going and telling that guy. Man, I love telling people at times when they're wrong. But the problem is half the time my heart's not right because I'm wanting them to feel the pain. And that's not, if I can give a good example of what life group's about, that's not what life group is about. It's about being humble amongst a group of people that are in the same boat so that we can do this journey together. Because like Sid said, man, you see people in life that you're like, man, they're doing great, man. They're knocking on all cylinders. They're doing everything good. And then something happens, and man, it just knocks them completely out. And I realized over the years, God never intended us to do life alone, single or married. God never intended us to do life alone. And it's so counter to the culture we live in. I want to talk about Ephesians for a minute since I'm enjoying Ephesians. I'll tell you a few things about the book of Ephesus real quick just to get geeky with you because I like that stuff. So appease me for a second. But we're going to jump into Ephesians chapter 1. And we'll do 1 through 3. But I'll give you some background. Paul's in prison. Why he's in prison, I'll give you this story. He meets a fellow prisoner that's actually going to be released. His name is Onesimus. So this guy's in prison and he gets released. Well, Paul, in his journeys, has planted churches. Well, this is what's interesting when Sid talks about Jennifer and I and Marvin and Amanda and all that in that piece. This former slave that's in prison, Paul knows his master. And Paul not only knows his master, Paul knows the church that they're a part of. Well, Onesimus gets out, and when he gets out, Paul's telling him, listen, you're going back where you came from because the Lord wants to do a work in you. and your former boss. And so Paul writes the book of Ephesians, the book of Colossians, and Philemon, and says, all right, Onesimus, I send you with these three letters. Go. Stop at Ephesus, give them that letter. I'm 100 miles after that, then go to Colossians. And while you're at Colossians, give Philemon, give him this letter about you. There wasn't a problem in that area. There wasn't like, if you read, this is my geeky side, you read Galatians, Paul's mad in Galatians. He's like, what gospel is this that you've bought into, and it's not even a gospel that you're believing? Have you so easily, quickly quit? He's mad in Galatians. But in Colossians, he's not mad at all. He's like, hey, I'm just going to help this body of believers out. So he writes this letter. And it's interesting in this letter because he says things in this letter that are more profound than what we think even in the book of Romans. We look at the book of Romans and think that's the gospel. You know, that's Paul's epistle. That's his letter on the gospel. But really, it's Colossians. And he can even condense it even in the 1 Corinthians 14, the gospel. But it's interesting because guys like Martin Luther said that Ephesians is the queen of the epistles. This is the book of books. So on my geeky side, a guy that didn't grow up in church, if you need a book to study to understand Jesus and what we are in Jesus, read the book of Ephesians. And what's here, so here's the, you learn these cheats in school on how to get, you know, it's funny having four kids. You got to teach them how to learn. I was a very poor learner. I had problems learning. I was diagnosed with ADD before they had ADHD. I'd have gotten that one too. Put me on Ritalin, gave me a whole bunch of stuff. Just tried to calm me down so I wouldn't climb the walls, keep me out of trouble. And I just had a really hard time processing in my mind how to learn. But I got saved and God started working on me in that area. And then by the time I was a senior, I got married in college. In my last semester, Dean's List crushed it. My dad's comment was, if I had known you'd have done so well, I'd have let you get married earlier. You know, testament to my wife. But you learn to learn. And you have to teach kids how to learn. So what's interesting as a parent is you can be really insecure because you just assume, okay, teachers, it's your job to teach my kid how to learn. And when my kid doesn't learn and makes a bad grade, it's the teacher's fault. As a married to an educator, that's a frustrating comment to say. I think the battery. Oh, sorry if I shut this thing off. But it's interesting because the Lord throughout Scripture talks about how He wants you to renew your mind and get wisdom and knowledge. He'll lavish it upon you if you ask Him. What's funny is we don't ever ask Him. So as a parent, for us, the crucial years were in middle school for our kids and learning to teach them. So I learned these hacks, these tricks. You learn these tricks to make the grade for the teacher. And I learned, it's no different when, I don't want to say this degrading, but when it comes to the Bible, you can learn things about the Bible so you don't have to, you can learn more and get confident in your knowledge of the Word. 1 Peter 2:2 talks about you should hunger and crave for the Word like milk so that you could grow in your salvation. So we get saved, we give our lives to Christ, but He wants us to grow. He wants us to grow. Well, man, you learn to master the Word, you can grow a lot. And I didn't grow up in the church. I didn't have a Bible. I didn't know anything. I didn't know. It's funny. I didn't even know there's certain sins. Hey, in the church, you shouldn't do certain things. So I'd show up, you know, I didn't have a problem drinking. I didn't have a problem doing certain things because no one ever told me they were wrong. You know, I got saved and didn't go to church till a year after I got saved. I'm 19, 20 years old going to church for the first time. You know, living, I did not grow up in a Christian home, so my behavior was not like Christians. And what's interesting is if you raise your kids in church, they learn the mannerisms of how to play the game. But yet, hey, what was interesting for me was I went off to West Georgia. The funny thing about West Georgia, they used to say there were seven girls to like three guys. I mean, one guy. It was, you know, so I met this kid my freshman year at West Georgia. He was a pastor's kid. And we asked him, why'd you come to West Georgia? And he said, because of the ratio of girls to guys. Well, I don't fault him for that, but dude, as a pastor's kid, that's your, dude, come on now, you know better than that. So anyway, so it was an interesting journey for me meeting people that had grown up in the church. Because you can get numb. You can get numb to the Word. You can get numb. I'm going to run a rabbit trail. I'll come back and maybe I'll remember where I was. But anyways, I want to say this about the book of Ephesians. We're going to talk about Ephesians eventually. But here's Ephesus. I'll say this. I'll back up and give you this picture. Jesus is on the cross. And he looks down at John the Apostle, his disciple, and he says, "Hey, listen, take care of my mom." Jesus had younger brothers, siblings, but he told John, "Take care of my mom." Well, where does he take him? Where does John take his mom? To Ephesus. You can go to Ephesus today and see. You get on YouTube, look it up. You can see the home, that supposed home that Mary lived in. So Ephesus, you had the Apostle John there, you had Mary there, and then you had Jesus when he went through his journey after he got out of prison, he went there to the church there, and he put Timothy in place there. So Paul, this is my geeky side, Paul writes these letters, Ephesians, Colossians, Philemon, in like 60-61 AD. Then he shows up to Colossians and Ephesians, he shows up there to that body, and he puts Timothy in place, and then 64-65 AD, he writes 1 Timothy. See, you start getting these pictures when you study the Word. Get big pictures so then you can start understanding pieces. So what's interesting is he writes 1 and 2 Timothy to Timothy and encourages, "Man, stir up the gift in you. Remember that we laid hands on you? Remember that gift? Stir it up, man. You're the leader. You're the man." We got to teach our kids that. My kids have to be able to walk with Jesus when I'm not around. And they can't talk the game just when I'm around. It's their Jesus. It's their relationship. I can only show them so much. And here's what's difficult. It's humbling. I can teach my kids all the greatest things in the world, all the right things, to do all the right things. They still have to make their own decisions. And it doesn't make me a bad parent when they choose the wrong decision. It means they're human. Here's what's tough. Now, let me talk to the guys for a second, and then I'll get back on my rabbit trail, Us as guys have to model grace in our houses. And the first key is forgiveness. And it's not us forgiving them, it's them forgiving us. My daughter, my oldest daughter, she's hitting 25 and she writes, it's funny, all my daughters are different. And so she decides, "I'm going to write Dad a letter." She writes me a letter and says, "Hey Dad, back when I was younger, you hurt me in this moment in my life." And it's tough as a dad. Because we're older. Let me talk dad for a second. I know I was a jerk in that season. I'm working 60-hour weeks. I haven't had a day off in 3 years. I got 4 kids I'm taking care of. So I'm going to write her back. Let her know. Point A. I was working to pay for your school. I could have put out this list. But in that moment, I had a choice. Man, and it's tough. We all talk about how great it is being men. Man, it's not. If you're going to be a spiritual man, there's decisions you have to make that society wants you not to make. And one is you have to model forgiveness, and not for other people, but for you. So I said, "All right, we're going to do this, Lord. We're going to do this." Because back when my daughter was 10, I took her away to Six Flags off of I-20 when she was a little 10-year-old. I'll never forget this. I've probably told them maybe a little bit. I'll keep it condensed, but all my girls, when they were 10, I took them away and I taught them on forgiveness. And I said, "Hey, listen, mom and dad are jerks. You're going to have to understand we don't do things right. I know you think we're awesome right now at age 10. Your dad's the greatest because she's a girl." I said, "But look, we're going to make mistakes. So you're going to have to learn to forgive." It was a funny journey with me because I can talk to complete strangers. But when I talk to my daughters about things like this, I get so sweaty. It's gross. You just get so nervous like you're saying the wrong thing. And at age 10, they don't know what you're talking about. So she's over there, got a milkshake in her hand. We're at the diner, and she's sucking away on that milkshake. And I'm trying to convey to her the depth of forgiveness. And she's like, "Yeah, whatever, Dad." Sucking away on the milkshake. And I'm going, "Oh my gosh, does she get what I'm trying to tell her?" And I tell her again. And "Yeah, whatever, Dad. Can I get another milkshake?" Well, now she's 25. She's not that little girl with a milkshake in her hand. She's that single girl looking for love. She's expressing her heart to her dad. So I said, "I'm not going to write her back. I'm going to wait." And you know, all right, let me talk to the men in the house. You know when you're around a woman that got something on her mind. And you know, you can feel it. You can feel it. You're like, and she's just waiting. She ain't going to say nothing. She's waiting for you. Man, those are nervous times right there. It's like Sid when he preaches and he stares at you for 30 minutes. It's like, dog, why is he staring at me? I ain't got no sin. What? You know? Oh, come on, quit staring at me, Sid. Anyways, so my daughter came home from school. And, you know, I end up dragging it out. I keep thinking about it all weekend. You know, she's getting ready to leave. Well, dang, I better go in. Come on, get in the car. Get in her car. And we have this love thing with Waffle House. So I take my daughter to Waffle House, and we're sitting across. And I look at her, and I say, all right, you know that note you wrote me? I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? I could have said anything in that moment as a dad or a guy. How dare you talk to me? You know the things I did for you? I'm telling you, we're only one piece away. One piece away. I quoted it earlier, James 5:16. Therefore confess your sins to each other and pray for each other that you may be healed. What's interesting in that journey of life, when you ask for forgiveness from someone else, you get healing. This is the spiritual piece I don't understand. I offend you, I ask you to forgive me, and God heals me as much as He heals you. This is where the Lord's not a man. He has more than enough grace. Let's go to Ephesians 1. And I don't know how much, I didn't turn my timer on. At my church, we have a big thing in the back, and I usually go over, and then the band knows just to stand up. The worship team just gets up and starts playing. They're like, oh, Bruce is going. There's just the piano girl just starts chiming in. All right, we're going to let him know he's over, you know. Someone's got to throw something at me or tell me when I'm over, you know. Paul just come up and start toting me off, you know. Anyways, let's go to Ephesians 1. And I'll get as far as we can, and when we need to land, we'll land. So I want to say this, Ephesians 1, 1 through 3. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to God's holy people in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to God and our Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. I want to stop on that. Praise be to God and Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. There's things that good fathers do before we even know you need them. Here's the difficulty. If you didn't grow up studying the Word, knowing about who the Father is, you put everything on your earthly dad. And when he's a jerk or makes mistakes, then it negates a lot of how we act. I meet a lot of people in my journeys. I'm just a people person. I just like to meet people. And man, it's interesting. There are certain things you can see in people's behaviors that are similar in their lives, just because of things that have happened in their past. I get around certain people, and I know when you've been wounded by a spiritual leader or a dad. I know by how you the things that come out of your mouth, the things that come out of your mouth are really your heart. And what's tough is if you've been hurt in the heart by a leader or a dad, man, those things will come out. And what's tough is then we turn around, we look at the Lord, and we're like, you're not a good dad. If you were a good dad, you wouldn't have gave me that dad. How dare you? What I find interesting in verse 3 and even verse 4, I'll read verse 4 so we'll time together. For He chose us in Him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in His sight. I got a question for you guys. It says, therefore He chose us in Him before the creation of the world. When and where did sin originate? Correct. So if He chose us before the creation of the world, did He choose us when there was sin? You got to hear this. You got to hear this in your spirit. Before sin was even in the picture, God said, I want a people, and I want them to be my people, and I want them to be blameless and holy. There wasn't... don't raise your hands, parents, but we'll get us all in the same boat so I can get us moving in the same direction. How many of us have made a wrong decision? Can we all agree on that? All right, yeah, we've all made wrong decisions. Before a decision was even made, the Lord said, I want them. And they'll be blameless and holy in my sight. I'll look at them. Man, I knew when I did things wrong in my house. My mom used to stay up late. And I'd come home drunk, high or whatever. Just crawl in. My dad'd be asleep because he's got to go to work. Mom would be up. I'd be just crawling in. Man, it's tough to have to look a mom in the face. Loves you to death. Wants the best for you. You can't even walk. I remember when my mom died of cancer, the way I responded to that as a non-believer was, I passed out underneath my car at a party, laying in my own vomit, because I didn't know how to process this. We didn't go to church. So I didn't know what to do with the pain, because no one ever told me. There's a world dying out there. There's a world dying out there, and we got the answer. But we have to know who we are in Christ. Verse 4, for He chose us in Him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in His sight. Yeah, but I'm a sinner. Well, let's go to verse 5. For He predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with His pleasure and will. Before sin entered the world, did Adam and Eve need to be adopted? I'm not trying, it's not a trick question. Before Adam and Eve entered the world, or sin entered in through them, did they need to be adopted? No. They were in a perfect relationship with the Father. So what's He saying here? I'll read it again. He predestined us for adoption to the sonship through Christ Jesus in accordance with His pleasure and will. Before we even sinned, He made the commitment as a father. I'm going to adopt them. So it's interesting. I have lots of friends that have children that they've adopted. The pastor that I serve with, he's adopting his second son. It's awesome. It's so fun to watch. What's interesting is if you're born into a family, you have rights by birth. When you're born into a family, you have rights by birth. Well, Sid, you're my dad, and man, I want this property, whatever, or I want these things, because I'm your kid. An adopted kid. Oh, that hurts. Anyways, I'm not 20 anymore. My body's hurting. As an adopted son or daughter, you get the same rights that someone that was born in the family, but you don't get those rights by birth. You get those rights by grace. Same rights, same privileges, you just have it from a different perspective. Make sense? I get the same rights that that kid gets that was born from mom and dad because I was adopted. He predestined us for adoption to the sonship through Christ Jesus in accordance with His pleasure and will. It was not a regret and hesitation. This is what's interesting in regards to divorce and remarriage. When I marry this girl after having been divorced, I'm not just getting her. I'm getting her ex, and I'm getting any kids that went with that ex. I want her. But them? Hesitation and regret. I don't know, you know. But when we deal with the Lord says, I'm adopting every single one of you, and I do it with my pleasure. It pleases me to adopt you. I don't do it because I'm upset with you because you chose sin. I do it because I want you as my son or daughter. Remember the guy at the pool of Bethesda? 30-something plus years, 38 years at the pool. Jesus walks up. Supposedly there was like 1,000 people that could get around that pool of Bethesda. No one said, he's probably already preached this a million times, the Old Testament, you know, that concept. But then the New Testament coming in with Jesus. Jesus walks past 1,000 people to the one. This is what blows my mind. 1,000 people around that pool. That guy's been sitting there for 38 years. Jesus walks up and he's like, hey, you want to get healed? Dude, that could be a dumb question. That could be offensive. He just says some of this craziest stuff. This guy's like, dude, I've been here 38 years, but no one will help me in. hit on life group again. Life group is when you can't get in the pool yourself and you just need a little help. I want a good marriage. I want a great marriage. I can't do it by myself. I definitely can't lead her by myself. It's I laugh at the Muslims if I, you know, Sharia, you know, I can have multiple wives. I'm glad I just got one. I don't know, 20, you want 21 and then life after? What the heck? Come on now. I got one. I'm just trying to be faithful with the one I got. Man. I can't say it enough. Let's go to verse 6 there. To the praise of His glorious grace, which He has freely given us in the one He loves. Next week at home, I'll be teaching on predestination, and it's funny. I went to Bible school, and I didn't really enjoy necessarily being around some of the Bible school kids that were like pastor's kids. You know, that think they thought they knew it all. And all they wanted to do when you'd get together in between classes, they'd want to debate theology. And I was like, dude, I know your marriage, dude. I don't care what you know. Why don't you go home and take care of her? Quit talking about how you can exegete and do all that. You know, there's got to be balance. You can know the word, but man, if you can't live in harmony with people, man, what's your gospel? I never entertained those conversations with the guys. Because I just was like, dude, I got to go home. I got to change diapers. I got to take care of my woman before I go off to work. I don't have time to play. So I want to make this comment about predestination just really fast. Pretend there's like this hula hoop. And that's Christ. Everything God the Father predestined is in Christ. Think about predestination. It's funny because people try and argue that. Predestination. But they won't talk about in Christ. You can't separate predestination without Christ. So God predestined stuff, everything in Christ. What's verse 3 say? Every spiritual blessing is in Christ. So you got the hula hoop. That's Christ. God predestined. You know how you get predestined? Easy. Get in Christ. Easy. It's easy. Everything the Lord intended for us to have is in Christ. You get in Christ, you get it all. It was funny. I worked for my dad for 7 years. My dad was a general manager over a chain of hardware stores. And this is back before he had cell phones and even pagers and all that stuff. My father would call my high school, at lunchtime on Fridays. I'd go in, they'd get me, and I'd go in and get the phone. Yes, Dad. My dad'd say, okay, listen, I want you to go to Decatur. You're going to go to the Decatur store, and you're going to redo the paint aisles. You're going to meet the manager there, get the schematics on how to redo the end caps. All right, Dad, done. Boom. I'd get off work and I would go to Decatur to the hardware store. My dad oversaw these 7 hardware stores. I'd walk in, I'd say, hey, I'm here to see so and so, and they don't know who I am some of the times. After they figured out, then it was different. But I wouldn't tell them who I was. I'd just come in, hey, I'm from the office in Cobb. They told me to come out here. And I'm supposed to redo the end caps. It was interesting hearing how some of them would talk. Because they'd start saying stuff. And they didn't know I was the big man's son. And so they'd start saying stuff. And I'd just be like, all right. And I'm not the type where I'd call back because I knew my dad. He could be a jerk, whatever. You know, I'm not going to defend the dude all the time. But, dude, who are you to be talking about my dad like that? I could talk to him like that because he's my dad, but you ain't his son. Come on now. Let me talk to you about in Christ and predestination. You get in Christ, the Father says, that's my son. Don't talk about my son like that. And it was funny because they used to make jokes to me about being the boss's son. They'd say, oh yeah, well so-and-so said so-and-so about you. And I'd go, yeah, would you hear what my dad said about you? It has a different context when you're quoting the boss. And I think a lot of times the enemy lies to us and we believe the lies. We don't ground ourselves in the Word enough to know who we are in Him. So the enemy starts talking, look, you're inadequate, you're single, you're inadequate, you'll never get married, you're inadequate, this, 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 and this. And the Lord says, you're complete in me. In Christ, I give you every spiritual blessing. I've predestined these things for you. Get up in Christ. Come on, get up in there. Come on, get in there. All right, we're slowly going to land. I got a question for you. Who's doing the adoption in those verses? Is the Father doing the adoption or is Christ doing the adoption? The Father's doing the adoption. Jesus is just the one processing the adoption. So we're going through Christ to get to the Father. We are in Christ. He's paying it. He's paying it. You ever tried to adopt a kid? Man, it ain't cheap in the States. Man, you got to write a big old fat check to get a kid these days. I'd love to do it. I just don't have the zeros. The Lord says, I am more than willing to write the check. And not only am I willing, I already did. You want it? You want it. I paid for it. Do you want it? Bless you. Cute little sneeze there. I'll make a quick comment about some more verses and then we're going to land. I don't know, how do you guys do it here? Do you have the band come back? Do you have the worship team come back? I call them band. Still got to get it out of me, out of the world. Could Dave Matthews come up with the band and just go ahead and... It's funny how that song goes in my mind. Gravel in My Travel. You know that song? Anyone know that one? I had it in my notes at the beginning. It's so funny. I love coming here just because it reminds me of life. It's healthy. You guys are healthy. There's that song that says, "Thanks for letting me put a little gravel in my travel." You remember that song? Y'all are city folk, aren't you? You're really not in the country out here. I was told you're country. Anyways, it's hilarious. I love listening to country music, and I hang around all the our congregation's young, and a lot of them are international, come from Brazil, and they don't know it. I'll quote something from who was it the other week? I quoted. Was it Maroon 5? I know, no, it wasn't country. But dude, they didn't even have a clue who I was talking about. And I come here and you guys don't even know. Oh my gosh. Sorry. All right. I'll read this one verse, or a couple of verses, and we're going to land. James 1, 13 through 15. When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does He tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desires and enticed. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is fully grown, gives birth to death. A couple comments. What's inside of you will be revealed. What's inside of you will be exposed. What's inside you will determine your walk or your view outside you. And then the big one, what's inside you will lead and direct your actions. Remember at the beginning I said worship evokes a response? God wants to change our view or our walk, but He first wants to change inside of us. But here's what's interesting. What Jesus did on the cross enabled me not to have to be exposed. We still have this nice picture of Jesus on the cross, and we wear crosses, and I understand that. But when Jesus hung on that cross, He was, as they say in the country, butt naked. He wasn't wearing anything when Jesus was on the cross. He was 100% exposed. He was completely naked. I don't think as an adult I'd want to be naked in front of my mom or my running buddies. I don't even like to be that in front of my doctor. Jesus was exposed. Why? So that we wouldn't have to be. That's the truth. He's so gracious, the Father said, listen, you chose sin, fine. There's a consequence for sin. But then His choice was, I'll cover it for you. That's a good dad right there. I'm not going to wait for you to fall into it or think like you've got a, you know, have you ever met those people? They're talking about the same sin, same problems. It's like they like being in it, or they want to talk about someone else's sin every time you see them. Same person they want to talk about, or same problems they want to talk about. Well, the Father's like, look, I am more than able, more than willing, and I've already done it in the past. I'll take care of all your sin. Just get in Jesus. And I won't expose you or embarrass you. Does that make you feel weird when it says in James 5:16, confess your sins? Is that weird? It's kind of, you know, I don't want to tell people my problems. Be free. God's not telling you to go tell everyone in church your problems. Let me go ahead and release everyone from that. I don't want you putting up on Facebook all your problems, okay? Instagram, my sin. God's not asking you to do that. But He is saying, hey, listen, be real. Humble yourself. I'll say this to you. If you haven't become a believer, if you're kind of toying with the idea of, I'm telling you, God is so good. He's not going to embarrass you. He's not going to expose you and, well, you're going to have to go up in front of Sid, and Sid's going to get the mic and say, hey, so-and-so, they got this problem. We're going to welcome them into the family. That's not how it works. We're all in the same boat. Sid's in the same... I've known Sid for years. Okay, he's sinless, but anyways. Hypothetically speaking, through Christ. But the point is, we all have our junk. Lord willing, my kids will have less junk than I had. Come on now. My kids will have less junk than I had. And my grandkids will have less junk than they had. Sid thinks I love him. I'm just here because I'm trying to get rid of my junk. I do. I love you. Got my man crush. But I want to say this to everyone this morning as we end. And that is, there's more freedom in Christ than we're experiencing. There really is. It may have started, at least for me, it started in a dorm room by myself. Someone had shared Christ with me. I told them no. They invited me back. I don't know why. They invited me back and I heard the gospel for the second time. Second time I heard the gospel that Jesus died on the cross for my sins, I was like, it made perfect sense. You didn't. I say this. I knew I was a sinner. Sin didn't scare me. What I knew I didn't have was a relationship with God. I didn't have a relationship with the Father. I knew. You didn't have to tell me I was a sinner. That didn't even bother me. That didn't bother unbelievers, I don't think. I am? Ooh. Who told you? That's not the issue. I'm looking for a dad I can love and that can love me. I want a dad that can love me. And I realized in that dorm room that night by myself that I wanted that relationship. So telling him I was a sinner wasn't a problem. But then learning to accept his love from that point forward has been a little tough. Because there's times when I want to get off. Jesus, you need to get off the cross. You don't need to pay for that sin. I've earned that one. I'm going to keep it. The Lord's like, nope. You're my kid. I paid for it all. So I want three things this morning from all of us. You got to have. You're not a good preacher if you don't have at least three. You got to say the word three or something. You know, have to have 3 points, three whatevers. If you don't know the Lord, I want you to ask this morning. All right, what's the next step for me? If you've never asked Christ in your life, then the next step would be, okay, I need to ask Christ in my life. Not necessarily, although it's a part of it, forgiveness of sin. Ultimately, it's for a relationship with the Father. Look past your sin. Look past it. That's so... In sales, they talk about benefit selling. It's the lowest form. It's the lowest form of sales. You tell people the benefits. Listen, if you buy this iPhone, it has this feature, this feature, this feature. It's feature selling. That's the lowest form of sales, telling people the benefits of why to buy something. Yes, you ask God to come in your life, forgive you of your sin. He does forgive you of your sin. The big picture is... relationship with the Father. So if you haven't done that, man, this is a great morning to do that. Second piece. Maybe there's something in your heart. You're like, I know there's something not right in this relationship. Or there's something that you're wrestling with. There's something in your life like, okay, I love the Lord, but up to this point, there's something, you know, it's like a wall, it's like a speed bump. It's funny, while we were in Savannah for this race, there's a speed bump. I could have swore that thing was like 2 feet tall. Man, you could drive over that in a Porsche if you wanted to. I mean, you just get stuck. Well, maybe in life, that's where you're at. There's like that speed bump. Like, dude, every time I get close to that thing, I get stuck. Well, man, nothing wrong. Take this morning and just give that to the Lord. And then I'm going to ask a favor. I'm asking a favor. Doesn't have to be this morning. Doesn't have to necessarily be a life group at Victory. But I want you to find someone you say, hey, listen, there's this in my life that I got to talk to someone. Can I trust you? That's the tough thing, is learning to trust people. Because they'll be on the phone. You're telling them the problem and they're already texting it to so-and-so. And then the third thing is this. This is the last piece I want to say to you guys. And that is, I love what I do. I love sharing the Word. I love studying the Word. I love serving as a pastor. But what's frustrating as a pastor is looking out and seeing people that are so gifted. So gifted. I love Sid. I want to hear other people preach up here too. It's not just the Sid show. This is family. God speaks to all of us, and you each play a vital piece. And so if you've been sitting here for a little while and you're not doing anything, not even at Victory, but just anywhere, I'm telling you, you'll never experience God on a whole deeper level until you say, okay, I'm going to serve in some capacity. I'm telling you. That's what I did. I'll land. If the worship team wants to come back up or however we end this thing, I'll say this. I got saved. I had no clue what to do in church. I had no clue. I just knew you're supposed to go. I didn't have a Bible. This girl I was dating gave me a Bible. It shows you how spiritual I am. I didn't have a Bible. A girl gave me a Bible. I didn't even know how to read it. I didn't even know there was a New Testament and Old Testament. I didn't know any of that stuff. I really didn't. I look back, I was like, man, I was pretty dumb. But I said, Lord, whatever you want, I'll do. I'll do. And so I treated church like I did working for my dad. The Lord would tell me things and I would do them. He'd call me up. The Lord would say, okay, listen, go to church early and I want you to help serve. Just serve. All right, Dad. Hang up. Go off to church. And they'd be like, hey, Bruce, what are you doing? I just came. You need any help? Yeah, we do. So-and-so called in sick. Can you help us? We're going to serve lunch today. Sure, whatever. And I just started doing stuff like that. How do you become a preacher? I just kept saying yes to every opportunity. Till eventually one opportunity was, hey, you want a pastor? Hey, Jen, do I want a pastor? Okay. Had no clue. I'm going to be honest. I had no clue. Had no clue how to pastor. I got a business degree. I went to Bible school. And I'm working on another degree now. But man, if you're waiting till you know how to do things, man, I'll equate it to marriage. Dude, I knew nothing when I got married. I just knew I liked her. She smelled pretty good and I didn't want her to go home. So I overcame the fear and said, hey, I want you want to stay the night, you know, after we get married? I want you to come stay the night. Yeah, let me clarify that, okay? Before I get, Sid, you're going to get letters on that one. I was like, I don't want her to go home no more. So I asked her to marry me. What's that fear in your life? What is that fear that you're dealing with to hold you back? I don't want to just talk church. I'll end this. I like lights down. Is there any way we can get the light? Pretty please? Some lights down, create the mood. Maybe you've been asked two or three times at work, hey, there's a promotion coming up. And you keep going no, because you don't know what, you don't feel like you're adequate for that job. And the Lord's saying, if you'll say yes, I'll give you what you need. If you just say yes to the Lord, He'll do all the rest. But if you never respond to Him, you'll never know. You never know. So let's all stand. If you would just all stand with your eyes closed. Just, this is your time with the Lord. As the worship team sings this over you, I'm asking a favor. In your heart, find one thing that you can work on. Whether it's your next step in your relationship with the Lord, maybe there's something I need to get out of my life, or hey, there's something I need to do either at work or at church, that next step.